This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 6, Episode 11, titled Charisma, Uniqueness, Nerve, and Talent Monologues. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two betrothed co-hosts. First, from Bloody Podcast, please say...
From this moment on, there is only one word to describe you.
Cunt.
To Lori Roggenkamp. Hello, Lori. Oh, how are you?
Hello. I love how much work you had to put into that. That was great.
It actually wasn't that much work.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it was fun. Anytime I get a chance to compliment you on your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Yes.
You take it. You snatch it.
Hey, I'm the only one on here who technically can be called that. So,
You don't know me. Don't put me in any kind
of category. Genders.
Yeah. By the way, that you may not recognize that voice you just heard, but he is no longer on the market. He is a married man. Please say,
oh, bring the bitches
to Adam, Mister.
Officially Mr. Salandra.
Officially Mr. Adam Salandra. You took... People think his name was Adam Salandra. His name was Adam Jones. His married name is Adam Salandra, and now he's here with us here on Drag Race Recap. Welcome back, Adam, by the way.
It's so good to be back. I missed you guys, I have to say.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't even talked about... We just did a 30-minute Just Between Us Girls where we heard about the wedding... About your gay porn star ex-boyfriend, about Lori's kid saying she's tall. I don't know the whole thing. And if you want to hear that, you can go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the premium level. You get Just Between Us Girls. It drops on Saturday nights. Well, at least Saturday night Pacific time. But Salandra, I know you're rude, so you don't know this. Special thanks to Jay Ellis for filling in for Adam Salandra. I know, Jay, I am sorry that Adam is not appreciative that you filled in for him, but I appreciate you.
Wait, am I not appreciative because I didn't listen? Is that what you mean?
No, because you didn't immediately, out of nowhere, apropos of nothing, say, oh, and thank you to Jay.
Yeah.
That is rude of me.
Yeah.
It is rude of you. Jay understands, though. He gets it.
What if he doesn't? You think he's pissed?
You know, Jay strangely gets pissed about very strange things.
Well, yeah. Technically, I never asked him to cover for me, so I had no... I just said, I'm not here. So yeah, really, you should be thinking.
Wait, hold on. I didn't ask him either.
What do you mean?
Did he just volunteer to say, like... You know, there were these guys, like, in the 90s, right? And they did this very clever thing. They would get into all the big award shows, the Grammys, the Emmys, the Oscars, any hard-to-get party, right? You couldn't get in. They would get in because what they would do is they would call the Oscars and say, like, I'm a high-end florist and I want to donate the flowers to you. All I want are two Oscar tickets and two tickets to the governor's ball, right? And they'd be like, of course. Well, yes, of course, right? Then they'd call a florist and say, do you want to do the flowers for the Academy Awards, right? And the guy would be like, yeah, great. I could put that on my resume. And then they would get the tickets, and that's how they would show up to these A-list events. I think that's what Jay Ellis just did to us.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Why did you both – it made me nervous that you both, like, knew that. Did something actually happen that I'm – like, someone's pissed that I didn't say thank you? Or how did you know?
Yeah, no. Jay is – well, he probably doesn't want this on the air, so I'll have to edit it out.
He just texted us.
No, he told me privately the other day that he was a little weirded out because Solandra, since he understood before the wedding, but it's been now 2 weeks that Solandra never hit him up and said, "Hey, thanks for filling in" or anything like that. But
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
This week, Eureka returns to the competition, much to Trinity's chagrin. For the mini challenge, the queens do their best product placement Pride Celebration photo shoots. For this week's maxi challenge, it's a storytelling challenge that will force the girls to be both entertaining and vulnerable. Eureka's named the winner of the challenge, while the remaining contestants are placed in the bottom. This week's Lip Sync Assassin is season 12 winner, Jada Essence Hall. RuPaul names both queens the winners of the lip sync, which means they both read their lipsticks. By a strange coincidence, they both have the name Trinity on them, and Trinity K. Bonet is the next queen to leave the competition. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode, one thing you did not. Let's start with our officially married man, Mr. Adam Solandra. Adam, give me two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
Okay, thank you. I liked that the challenge I thought was something a little different. And it had an opportunity to have laughs and some heart to it, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. My vows, for example. Mm-hmm. Let's bring it back to me for a second. Very heartfelt and emotional, but also lots of comedy involved. And that's why I like to give heart and humor. And I thought that this had an opportunity for that. So that was very good.
Okay. Did you cry during your vows?
Yes.
Did
but everyone
Sean cry? Yes. Sean cried too. Oh,
Sean cried. So someone there, all the men, the straight men, cried. One of my friends said that her husband, she's only seen cry twice. This was one of them, and the birth of their child wasn't even one. So like we went
Holy
in.
Holy shit! What did you? Oh, I know what it was. You told them all the stories Lori tells on the show.
Basically, I mean, they were like, my husbands, of course.
Yeah, they were like, this person can't really exist. And then when they were hearing them, they started, they're like, wait a minute, what?
This is what life is?
Lori's aunt walks around bottomless?
Wait a second.
Anyway, that's one thing I like. The other thing I actually would say I love is that it has been a very long time, for All Stars at least, since it's been such an even playing field, anyone's game. It just made it a lot more interesting. The stakes a lot higher that, you know, any of these gals, even still technically, you could argue any could even win still. And I think that makes it a lot more fun.
All right, Lori, what about you? Oh, wait, did you even think you don't like?
No, I mean, I really kind of actually liked this episode. So I will just say there was a lot of Trinity just not being able to deal with someone coming back, because I already actually did listen and I already know you guys talked about that last week. And now that we have to discuss it again is,
well,
a lot.
As you and I both know, there's nothing Lori likes to beat to death more than a point. So
lucky us.
Yeah. I already saw her notes. She's going to talk about how people get mad when they put the other person's name, on the,
wait, what about
beat to death?
Yeah, Solandra, go ahead.
And a pussy. Yeah, so those are my two things.
I was just going to say one thing that really took me out was Ior. I was shocked by that.
What's right?
Pronunciation of Ior.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking that I mispronounced something. That was.
Ior? How did you get Ior?
It's spelled Ior.
It is. It is. But you're right. It is spelled like
that. That's how she got it. It just was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, dough is also spelled like tough. I don't say duff. I got to knead the duff.
Oh, that really got me into my wheeze laugh there.
Yeah. Anyway, Lori, go ahead. Give us two things you liked about the episode. The one thing you didn't.
I like this episode. I thought the energy for the stories was really low, but the stories themselves were fun. Like, I didn't necessarily understand the coffee shop style, like snapping. I learned during this episode that I don't like snapping. That annoys me.
Oh, yeah. That just reminded me of like kindergarten or something like that during like show and tell or something. Yeah.
No, but that's very the poetry people do that. Or at least it's always the joke. I've never seen it happen in real life, but in the joke.
I've seen it happen. It's just as jarring. and not fun. But so that I didn't really get that, the energy level part, but I like the actual like stories and stuff. I loved the coaching scene. It felt like this is the first time we've really seen a coaching scene where it's like Alec Mappa and God, I can't remember his name, but he's
Jermaine
just as
Fowler.
Great. Jermaine Fowler, just as great. And they like genuinely were there to support these people.
Is he gay?
I wish.
I know.
He was in that celebrity one where they had people come and do like.
Oh, that's why he was there. Yeah. I didn't know who he was and didn't get it. But I like
he's a really funny guy. I think he's written for a couple of TV shows and stuff. But yeah, so I love that. I love that they helped. Although I do think it's funny that the one time they do have people there, like to actually help, nobody takes their advice. So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, so I love that. I feel like I have the same sort of attitude towards it, like that Adam has, which I will say in the beginning, I thought I was going to dislike Trinity, but I got why she was upset at the end. So I actually have more sympathy towards her than I do. Like in the beginning, I was definitely like, okay. But then at the end, I was like, oh, I get why she feels the way she does. So, honestly, I felt like this episode kind of made me be like, oh, I think I know it sounds stupid, but I think I really like Drag Race now. Because if you had told me,
wow, this is a good time.
All right, well, the penultimate episode of All Star 6.
What if you had told me, in the beginning of the season, uh-huh, that I would like and understand Jan, that I would genuinely think Sonique should be considered for as a winner, that I genuinely think Raja should be considered as a winner, and that I would understand and like Trinity, I would have told you, like, what are you smoking? Like,
no, it's no. It's a magical season because of that. It was truly a season of who? And that made it all like very interesting in a way I did not see coming.
Yeah. And so I feel like overall, there's been some dips, but I feel like overall I've genuinely liked, I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love some more cattiness. But I mean, who wouldn't love somebody throwing something at somebody's face? I would just love it to break out into an MMA fight at some point. That would really put it over the edge. But other than that, it's great. I'm loving it. So,
it's funny because my two things and one thing I didn't, very much overlap with both of yours. One, I actually really liked this maxi challenge. I thought it was a good maxi challenge, even though it looked like a comedy challenge. It wasn't a comedy challenge. It had them do a skill that they don't usually do. And I'm sure, the three of us will have a lot to say about that. The other thing too, like Lori, I really thought the coaching session was one of the few actually valuable coaching sessions I've seen on this show. They've had people who are valuable at coaching, but they never give them the opportunity to act. Like Kathy Griffin's been on, Devin Green's been on, but I feel like they're just always, their hands are tied, you know, yeah. Where I felt this one, they actually really dug in and really tried to help with the stories. And I thought they did a good job. The one thing I didn't like, what was the fucking point of this mini challenge? I know what it was. It was product placement.
Yes.
And it was stupid. And it was dumb. I'm like, there was no rhyme. We'll talk about it during the mini challenge. So I'll leave it for that. But I did not like the mini challenge. All right. Let's move on. On the main stage, RuPaul names Eureka the winner of the lip sync. Silk and Silky leave with her head held high. The next day, the girls walk into the workroom ready to meet whoever won the lip sync. Trinity asks the girls if they're okay with another girl walking back into the competition. The girls recognize reality and move on. Next, RuPaul entered the workroom and brought Eureka back into the workroom before announcing this week's mini challenge. The queens will customize looks for a pride-themed photo shoot. Kylie Sonique Love was named the winner of the challenge before RuPaul explained this week's maxi challenge. Each queen will tell a personal anecdote from their lives as drag queens that will showcase their storytelling abilities. Let's go with the woman of the hour, Ms. Lori Roggenkamp. Lori, give us your thoughts here on everything that happened from the naming your week. Remember, it was very clear to you last week.
You're very clear.
Yes, I felt like everybody was. It was everybody.
Everybody was clear on this, that Silky clearly won that lip sync. What were your thoughts?
I mean, honestly, though, honestly. The show is, the song is Since You've Been Gone, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Eureka turns it into an emotional, acting challenge where she's reaching out to her dead mother. Mm-hmm. That does not make sense. I mean, the song might as well have been Hot Girl Bummer. And she was singing about her dead mom. There's no way that can make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. But what part of Silky struggling to get out of her bodysuit did you think spelled winner, winner, chicken dinner?
Lori actually thought that was Kelly Clarkson. Because they look so much alike.
You know what? I will leave. I will hang up and I will go if we keep doing this.
Well, good. Adam will get out by 7:15.
Wait, what was the insult? Just that you don't think Kelly and Silky should be?
No, he's calling Kelly Clarkson fat. He's always refers to Kelly Clarkson.
All
as
I
fat
said
pig.
Was that people confuse Silky and Kelly Clarkson. I didn't say anybody was fat.
You're calling
Silky fat.
Kelly Clarkson.
Lori really left. Well, all right. Well,
she left. She left us.
Oh, look, Lori's back.
I gotcha. I didn't
go too far.
Yeah. I gotcha. Hope you guys learned your lesson. Anyways. No, what I was saying was, I feel like I went by the story of... Sorry, let me repeat that. I feel like I went by the story of Silky's wins. So I maybe wasn't looking at each individual one where she was against Eureka, and that was looked at as its own individual thing where, like, yeah, maybe she had some struggles, or maybe it wasn't like the best that she's done. But I thought that maybe the fact that she had gone so far and, you know, was still, I thought, doing a good job. And also the fact that Eureka was singing was having a completely different reaction to what the song was actually was. So the song is a breakup song and she's talking about her dead mom. I mean, again, I love to beat a point to death. I'm going to keep beating this point to death. So
I think that you're right in terms of the momentum of the episode was like Silky, 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 which is, in my opinion, why they did not tell us who won until this week. So we all had a week to like get over it a little bit. Because yeah. I do think Eureka won that lip sync, but I do think it would have been very anticlimactic after that whole Silky episode for her to lose. But it also makes sense that they, in terms of fairness, they want the most recent queen to come back just so it feels like, okay, she actually has a chance. So it would have been cool to see Silky. I have to tell you, honestly, seeing Silky, I was like sad when she ended up leaving because she came in this season so meek and sort of careful at the start because she was so scared to say something wrong. The second she kicked off, she was like, that was a mistake. And she became her real self, but it wasn't annoying like season 11. It was much more like the Meet the Queen Silky that everyone really liked at first. So I'm not sure what the difference is.
I think it's just nerves. I think I mean, obviously this takes so much confidence and it's so anxiety ridden. And I think when your nerves are at such an all-time high, you kind of tend to go overboard. I mean, I've never done that, but I imagine that's what people do.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think that she finally found her footing. And I mean, honestly, I fell in love with her. I'm broke up with Star and I'm going to make Silky my bride.
That's great.
I fell in love with her as a performer during that lip sync. I mean, she was funny. She was lighthearted. She was everything that like, I felt like, you know, we had been seeing, RuPaul love Silky and it was like, why does she love Silky so much? What is it about her that's so great? And now we saw it. And it was like even her running back and going like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like was that chill. Was funny.
It really was. But again, it was like, it must be such a fine line because she was certainly over the top on her season, but it was just too much.
It was just too much.
I thought she nailed it on this episode and good for her.
She had like a whole one episode redemption story and it was great.
Very cool.
And it's sad, right. but so just getting into the workroom. So, the one thing I will say, again, and this is the only time that I think Trinity explained it, I was like, okay, I understand it now. But once you're in the workroom and she goes, are you guys really okay? Are we really okay with this? And Raja was just like, well, it's happening. So what do you like? I just felt like Trinity wanted to be like, guys, let's all get up and leave. And they promised.
She was like, what if I can rally the troops and put a stop to this? Yeah. I get 100% what she was saying. And I would feel the same way. It's like, I was there and she just knew, I guess, she would be next. However, and another thing you guys talked about last week, I'm such a huge fan. I did listen, was the, how you manifest certain things. And that is eventually you're manifesting them. If you're like, if she goes, someone comes back, I'm going to go. You not stop thinking about it. Off she went.
And that's a really good point. That brings up a good point, which is something that I have been thinking about, but I keep forgetting of all the things that I've vomited out of my mouth. I keep forgetting to talk about, which is I don't understand why people are mentioning their ranking in this. I don't know why Trinity was like, oh, I've had the most, been in the bottom the most, so I will be going home. If it was me, I would be ignorant AF. I would be like, I don't know where I'm at. I think I'm at the top. Like, I wouldn't mention or any of my faults.
I'd be like, well, you know, yes, but I had two wins. Kyle only has one. Like, doing something other than being Ior, truly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Being an Ior.
Well, it's also one of these things where you're hoisted by your own petard. And what I mean is, when you're Miss, we're going to vote by the track record. When your track record is not the best, then it's your turn, Mama. And this is why they should have gotten rid of Ginger when they had a chance. Why they should have gotten rid of, wasn't there somebody else? We're like, why didn't you just get rid of them? I feel Ginger was one of them, but I remember who the other one is.
Yeah.
Kylie Sonique Love is another one, you know, but like, they're like, oh no, they're too strong. I'm all like, bitch, you're insane. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny because Trinity is saying, why don't we all rise up against the system? And actually in this show, you can. There is a way that the producers can manipulate it, and that's by choosing the person who has the person that they want to send home. But if the queens, voting queens unite with the winning queens to get out the strongest competition, they have no recourse.
Yeah, no. I think it was just so clear that how nobody was going to do that. When at the end, Ginger and Eureka are talking and Eureka is just like, I don't know. I can't decide between the two. What happens if I just kick you off? And then they both laugh like, oh, that would never. It's you should. You should kick her off.
I thought of that too. And I want season 7 to be a bloodbath where no one's safe, but it'll never happen because of social media fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I know. I 100% agree. So, Landry, do you have any big thoughts on this segment here?
Actually, I did, but we've discussed them.
Well, let's talk about this mini challenge. When I think RuPaul's Drag Race and drag queens in fashion, I always think of Levi's.
that day, yes. But B, it's like I get that it was product placement, but they were just tearing up clothes to make bad looks. So it's also very bad product placement.
Which is so funny because I was thinking like, how, because I was like, I can't tell why Sonique won, right? But on the second one, she did the least to the Levi's.
That is wild because I was thinking the same thing, like what made her the winner. Not that, it's always arbitrary, but that especially.
Yeah, because
she was
hot.
The only one that, well, yeah, she was hot, but she wore the entire jeans. She wore the entire denim jacket. Like the other queens stripped the jeans down to nothing to like, you could barely tell they were wearing, ass out or like a crop top or whatever, where she actually wore a Levi denim outfit that was for the most part, unaltered. That was the only thing that made zero sense to me. It was a very strange segment. All right, let's move on the main, back in the workroom, the girls work on their monologues. Eureka shares her feelings about returning to the competition and the need to do well. Trinity expresses her anxiety about her performance in the competition. Later on the main stage, the girls practice their monologues with Alec Mappa and Jermaine Fowler. Raja fumbles over her memorized speech. Kylie impresses the coaches. Trinity rushes. Ginger needs to loosen up. And finally, Eureka fails to feature her vulnerable side. Let's go to Adam Solandra, he of show business. Adam Solandra, all your thoughts here on the coaching session.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, first taking it back to the little table talks, I thought it was interesting that Eureka was nervous to come back in because she didn't know how they would react. But I just thought it was interesting because those are her friends, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was all my friends, of course I'd be like, no one wants someone to come back. But, I mean, wouldn't you be like, oh, at least I'm happy to see a friend. But, I mean, her lover, Trinity, was not happy. So I guess she was right to be nervous. And I also saw that I wrote here that although I do understand where Trinity's coming from, when you make it to the finale, then it's stripped away from you. I would feel that same way. But it's also like, well, do good in the challenge. And then you'll be good. Although, in this case, if you're not the winner, everyone's in the bottom. But still, couldn't hurt to just do your best and not be eye-oring about. In terms of rehearsal, I thought that Kylie's story was actually so interesting, like finding drag when she was unsure of who she was. And I found it very interesting that she has her just very chill demeanor, was just sitting there, and I was engaged, and I have undiagnosed ADD, to be sure. So very many props to her for that. That shocks me still. I agreed with, they said Ginger was too glib, which I had to look up. But when I did, I fully agreed with that.
Yeah.
And my last
pronounced comment, glibe.
Oh, my mistake. Yeah, she was very glibe. And then Eureka, my favorite thing, and keep this in mind for a future Just Between Us Girls, if you have it in your back pocket, is a story about someone shitting their pants. I love, love, love it. So I was very excited that was her choice. I think it's funny. It's always funny to me. Sorry, you can make the face. I just find it hilarious.
Well, no, I would have given him all. Is that somebody you?
What? Like, has a story?
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, I mean, I feel like everyone has a story, but I could just see one of you two like having like an epic story, not just like I was sitting here and shit my pants, but like a good one. And I want to hear it if that's the case.
I really don't. That's the sad thing.
It's not sad. I think it's great. Yeah. It's for the best.
Lori, what were your thoughts on all this whole segment?
I will say this. Once Trinity said, it's not about you coming back. I'm glad you're back. It's just that I feel like I could potentially win it. And because I feel that way, I have such high anxiety about losing it. And I've been there. I've been in comedy competitions. I had a very hard time with comedy competitions because, you know, I'm really good when the bar is set very low. Like, I'm very good at that. When the bar is raised higher, I get so nervous.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I could actually like potentially win it. And then I just get in my head. So I get that. I get sort of doing it and not necessarily thinking about it. And then as it gets closer, you're like, oh my God, I am literally so close to the finale and I could potentially win this crown. And then, so the thing that you sort of were just like, I just want to do good and see how far I can get. Now you potentially could win it. And so I get that. I get that a lot. I felt really bad for her in that moment. Yeah. So that's it.
So, first of all, Trinity, let's talk about her, right? And I did this Rulaska Thoughts, yesterday where I went in detail. So if you want to hear the more detail about this, go to that. But anyway, my point is this, is the self-pity that she's doing. I think the biggest mistake Trinity is doing is because I'm going to assume that she must understand that there is no way RuPaul is crowning a winner of All Star Season 6 who is such a whiny DePoe. Okay? Like, she is not doing that. And so what I'm thinking is that she thinks the producers are her friends. And they'll never put this in the show, all the whining she's doing. You know?
Well, that's ridiculous.
So if I could give any advice to future contestants of RuPaul's Drag Race, the producers are not your friends. They may act like they're your friends, but their allegiance is to the show and they will fucking use everything you say against you in a court of Ru, okay? And you do not have a right to have an attorney present. So I think it's okay to be in your feelings on this show. It's a very high pressure situation, but mama, keep it at the hotel room. Don't bring it into the workroom. Do not bring it into the workroom because they will use that against you.
I 100% agree. I think that it was almost, look, I don't believe in like ethereal things, but I believe that if you put something out there, you will eventually start to believe it yourself. So if you put out there that, you know, she put out there that she's going home and that, you know, she's definitely going home and that, you know, if she gets in the bottom, she's going home. Well, not only do you, first off, you put that in everybody else's mind.
Yeah.
So now it's already set. And secondly, now you're just basically like, well, you're in crisis mode and you're not thinking creatively. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Let's go to the coaching session, which we actually didn't really talk that much about. Based on this coaching session, Raja and the other girls interpret this as another stand-up comedy challenge. And in fact, what it kind of – maybe I wrote this out somewhere later. That's for the actual judging of that. But and so a lot of them are showing up with these like memorized like jokes and everything like that. And I think Alec Mappa and Jermaine Fowler were very wisely trying to steer them away from that. With the notes they were giving without saying, don't do stand-up. Or maybe they did and we didn't see it. But I do think Alec Mappa and Jermaine Fowler did a great job. And by the way, I want to say one more time, Jermaine Fowler, smoking hot. Thank you.
Oh, very cute. And he was cute in drag, too.
Yeah, he sure
was. But yeah, no, I agree. I don't really have a lot to say about it because I feel like it was like genuinely like a great moment. I thought it was really cute when Jermaine Fowler, I forgot which drag queen, but he was just like, hey, we're here for you and we're going to listen to you. And I just thought that was like, see, that's what they need. They need people like that to like coach them and help them. And then they just don't follow any of their advice and they just end up doing their own thing basically. So
I can attest to that. All right. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, Adam and I will continue not to be there for Lori or listen to her.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, all right. It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. Eureka and Raja elaborate on their anecdotes. Trinity worries about the chances of being eliminated. Eureka tries to cheer Trinity up. Meanwhile, Eureka worries whether she should change her story. Lori, let's start with you. You are, along with Adam Salandra, actually, I'm very blessed here, one of the icons of Los Angeles stand-up improv and sketch scene. And yes. I wanted to get, I guess we'll cover this more during the See You Next Tuesday monologues. But
yeah.
What have you ever had that sort of stage fright? Well, tell us about this elimination day. What were you thinking here?
I showcased for you guys my amazing character skills during the break. But I definitely have had that where you're just worried about like missing beats, you know? or especially when you do sketches and you have to like memorize full like monologues and pages of dialogue, and it has to be right because the other person is counting on you because they've memorized their part, and they so they have to like, so that's terrifying. And just, but just like full pages of monologue is terrifying too. And you, it's just you, and you have to find the right moments to ebb and flow. And so, yeah, it's scary. I will say this. The one thing I thought was, in my opinion, and I'm assuming everybody thinks this. No, I'm kidding. I wonder, I'm interested just to find out what you guys think, but I felt like when Eureka went to talk to Trinity about how much her flirting with her has meant to her. I felt like that was like when Al Pacino kissed Fredo and was like, and we all knew that he was going to kill him later. Like, that's okay.
You know, Lori, that's funny that you're bringing that up in that angle. Cause the angle and I wanted to go with here was, and remember we were talking about, remember we were talking on Just Between Us Girls and you brought this up with Solandra. Is I actually found it to be a very emotional moment. I've had a few times in my life, you know, there's that person, kitty cat, you know, that I was hooking up with for a while. And the same thing is true with Aiden. It wasn't an actual kitty cat, by the way.
No.
It was, that's what we call him because Lori made a very cringy comment about a kitty cat around him one time.
Unfortunately.
But anyway, what I was going to say was, the one thing I will say that was very intoxicating about Kitty Cat and the same thing with Aiden is they both look at – and guys, I see the same thing you're seeing. They just both think I'm so beautiful. To this day, when I see Kitty Cat out and about, he looks at me as if the fucking hottest gay porn star walked in the room. It is like he just thinks I am the hottest fucking thing ever. Well, anyway, so let's finish this point very quickly here.
I want to know.
I saw it as intoxicating. Lori, I don't know. I mean, I know you've told me that Star, and I agree with Star. I'm not saying she's singling her, but she thinks you're beautiful. And when you're fat, when you're fat, it's less common where that people are just straight up telling you you're beautiful, you know? And –
I think the sentiment is cute. I think the sentiment, I agree with you on that. I think the sentiment is cute. But the way that she did it was like, you're not going to be around for too long. So I got to get this out before you leave.
But Solandra, as someone who is objectively an attractive male, right, Lori?
Yes. Oh, he's a, you know, he's Prince Charming. He's a Disney character.
So is there a way that you don't relate to Eureka, Solandra? Like, are you like, ugh, stupid fat pig? Who would ever call her beautiful? What do you hear
No, I have several different things to think about that. I love for Eureka. When everyone else hated her, I've always loved her. And I also have many of my closest friends are bigger. I don't think I say fat pig as much as you probably do, Joe, in your everyday life. But in this scene, I did think it was sad, not in a pathetic way, but like in a, like she was, I felt she was genuinely thanking her, saying, what the part of me have said to me, she was like, I know we're just joking around, but it still means a lot to me. I thought it was very, sweet, but also like, my heart, I felt for Eureka is what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, I didn't see it sad in a pathetic way. I saw it sad in a way that I relate.
Yeah. I didn't mean you did. I just meant when I say sad, I didn't mean like, oh, that's sad, pathetic, poor, fat thing. I meant like, oh, it just like, it touched my heart.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's cute. And look, I genuinely hope that they, that something happens. I think they would make a cute couple. But I mean, it just, the way it came out was just like very much like, I'm voting you off.
She'd have to change her name to Trinity K Buffet.
Yum. I heard y'all talking about Fat Show last week and I appreciated it.
Oh,
did you hear Jay admitting that he won't eat at the Fatchler? And I'm like,
I guess you didn't believe it because I thought y'all were joking, but he did say to be designated driver, so that's great.
Designated diabetes driver. All right, let's move on to the cunt monologues. I'm going to straight up call with their, so really supposed to be called. The first one down the runway the first one who came out we had was Trinity K. Bonet. It's titled Bamboozled, and she was talking about being catfished whilst that was her drag queen story about being catfished, but had an unusual ending in that the person wanted to thank her for her awareness to HIV. Solange, what were your thoughts on this?
This threw me off a little bit because I've been trained, as we all have, I'm sure, to look at the judges' reactions to know at least how you think they want you to feel about the performance. But mm-hmm. in this one, they were never laughing, but they were also never giving stank face. It was truly just blank stares. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I have to like decide on my own for once. What, like it, mm-hmm. it felt like the vibe and the tone was off. Like, were they even supposed to be funny? I just couldn't tell. So it was really just a nice monologue in the end, but that is the vagina monologues, which was based after. And by the end, I just thought it was really good and heartfelt talking about her, Rue, her Trinity and this random person both thinking Rue was their guardian angel. I thought it was nice by the end. But the judge's blankness threw me off.
Lori?
Overall, this was a very weird story because it was a man who lied to her. And then for some reason, she chose to believe that he actually is telling the truth when he literally just lied to her.
No, I never thought about that.
That's a really good point.
And also, I mean, I feel like somebody needs to say this to Trinity. RuPaul is just not that into you. Stop trying to suck up to her. Like, yeah. I feel like she's sort of coming into her own in certain ways. And I've really enjoyed watching her be like a boss in certain ways, but there's still so many ways where I feel like she's just got such a need to be liked by certain people. And RuPaul is definitely one of them. Right, Joe? Right? You agree with me, right? Right, Joe?
Get out. So, first of all, I'm going to go Inception on you, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person who allegedly lied about all her gowns burning up in a fire to get money. Okay?
Me?
I don't. Yes, that's right, Lori. Remember that lie you told about all your gowns burning up in a fire?
She's lying.
Yeah. I don't believe this story. I don't believe one bit of this story.
Oh.
I don't think any of it's true. It's all too neat and tidy. It's all too perfect. You know?
I will say I kind of agree with you on that because one of the things that I was like, I felt what this needed was just more information. Like, she says that the roommate was fine, but she doesn't explain what he looked like. She didn't give information. She just said he was attractive. And it was just like, okay, well, what's attractive? Was he white, black, Asian, Mexican, Indian? You know, what?
Well, not just
what
that, race, but what happened?
Got to be race.
Yeah,
but also, not only that. What happened after? You don't know what happened. You just know that Trinity said like, "Hey, RuPaul's amazing." And does the person go, "That's I'm not going to kill myself now," or I'm now a happy yeah. person, or something like that? Or
did
like,
they have dinner? Did they, you know, did they move? Did they have this entire conversation while he was on at another table and she was at another table?
She said. Can you introduce me to your roommate? That's how that was the button.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hold on. But go ahead, Lori.
But she said that like in the story as if like she was saying like, no, you know, like, I hope you're still alive and like he would listen to this. She wasn't saying it like, oh, this is, you know, that like, this is what I said to him. So yeah, I didn't understand. And also it was like within the same day, like, I don't know about you guys. I've always said I have very low self-confidence. So when I was single, if somebody said, I think you're really attractive, can we hang out? I would first go, like, I would ask them a million follow-up questions and to the point where maybe they decide they don't want to hang out with me. But she didn't seem to ask one follow-up question. It was just like, where do you want to meet?
Well, look, also, and I want to say this point, we have to move on because Adam had a heart out. But you're telling me, I mean, what this person is saying is very impactful, okay, on anybody, all right? So why would you go through the elaborate catfishing scheme? Why not just hit her up in Grindr and say, hey, Trinity, dun, 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 dun. Why would you have to go like, I'm going to pretend to be somebody else, and then they're going to like meet me for dinner so I can get to the same place and say the same thing?
Or just send a message originally. Just say like, that's hey, what I'm you saved my life and that's let's what I'm hang saying. Out. Or yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying.
Can I take you to dinner? You saved my life.
Yeah. Or and then also, I just realized right now, she never goes, yeah, but why did you pretend to be somebody else?
Yes. Okay. Let's move on. The next one we have is Kylie. It's called First Time. Let's start with Adam Cilantro. What were your thoughts on that, Cilantro?
You know, I already said them just because it was the same as in rehearsal. But the fact that she was just so engaging while doing next to nothing other than just being authentic, which was the key, was really cool.
Lori?
I genuinely didn't think I was going to like it because the rehearsal, I felt like she was a it was like a little – not boring, but just I felt like it needed more. But I agree with Adam. I think the mark of a good story is I didn't want it to end. I wanted to hear more about it. And so I thought she did a great job. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I will say of all of them, Kylie's felt the most connected on a human level of yes. all of the queens. Like, it yes. felt like she was really telling you a story as if you knew her and you were listening to her. It felt like the best, and it's funny, I have it in my notes, and Cilantro mentioned this earlier. It sounds like the better stories you hear from the Moth. When you go to the Moth, when you've seen the Moth, when you listen to the Moth, the better storytellers sound like Kylie. This story would have done really, really, really well at the Moth. And if I'm being honest with you, if it wouldn't have been for the story, I think she would have won. Look, I call balls and strikes. I know there have been episodes where I say, like the acting one with the fucking Ryan Murphy one. I said she shouldn't have won. And she shouldn't have. But she should have won this one.
Yep,
she should
I agree.
Have 100% Nicole. Won this one.
I don't necessarily think she should. I think that Eureka, in my opinion, deserved to win. But I will say that I thought she was a close second.
Let me tell you this. Lori called me. She thought Silky should have won this challenge.
And she's like, really? We all know.
The next one is Ginger. It's called My Ruby Slippers, about her dad catching her trying on her mom's clothes. Let's start with Lori on this one. Lori, what were your thoughts?
You know, I laughed in the beginning when she said, like, I'm born and raised in Orlando, Florida, is what I usually tell people. Mm-hmm. But I truly was born in a different town in Florida. And I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, it's like not like the most... I thought she was going to be like, I was actually born in Australia. Yeah.
That's a good point. People are going like, oh, you're not from Orlando. You're from Leavesworth or whatever.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, who cares?
I'm not actually like, from LA. I'm from Sherman Oaks.
It would be like, yeah. It would be like if somebody was like, oh, are you from Fullerton, California? I'd be like, no, I'm from Anaheim. after that, I kind of checked out. To be honest with you, I mean, I think Ginger is a very funny performer, but I just kind of, for the story, I felt like there was no substance. And I felt like, even though it was a sad story, I felt like she was desperately trying to take emotion and her, I think it was like she wasn't trying to connect with the story and it was obvious. And to be honest with you, the very little that she didn't remember that one time where she was like, I want to talk about being a parent because my partner and I are trying to become a parent. That very tiny amount of time that she spent talking about that, I felt more connection than she brought in the entire monologue that she did. So,
Cilantro?
For me, Ginger was the exact opposite of Kylie, where it was not... She was giving me theater actor, mm-hmm. Ginger was, which she is. And she was giving me someone who was like, if the cunt monologues were on Broadway, Ginger would have been, it would have been perfect. But it was a little too big for TV. And yeah. So it felt, it did feel, especially coming after Kylie, too put on and performed.
It did. It felt kind of Bette Midler-y, to be honest with you.
Which is like, yeah. Also, like, again, it doesn't even make it bad. It just wasn't for me, especially in comparison to someone like Kylie's.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. You know what it sounded like? And I've had the misfortune of being in a lot of open mics when actors try and do stand-up. Mm. And it often sounds like this. Which yeah. you could I should have pulled the clip and played, because this is what it really sounded like. You know, I remember. Wait, some of you may know and think I'm from Orlando, Florida. Oh, but no. That's what I tell people. I'm actually from Leamsworth or whatever. When I was 10 years old. Yeah. When I was 10 years old, my mama had the best shoes I've ever seen in my entire life. They were those red ruby fat something or others heels. Well, I was trying them on, and my dad walked in, and the look on his face, I don't think I've ever seen a look like that ever before. So at dinner, I had what they say in Spanish, a cara larga. My mom goes, "Boy, get that look off your face. Oh, and here's a present I got you." And when I opened that present, they were those cha-cha heels I'd asked for. And that day, I became a drag queen.
Wow, this is how many times you practice that. It was perfect.
I know. Thank you.
Adam has a heart out at 7:15.
All right. On that one, let's go to Raja and her bunny tail. Let's start with Adam Solandra.
I thought it was good, but it made me nervous that stumble at the beginning because she's really become one of my favorites, and I didn't want her to get the boot because of that. But she got it together.
Lori?
Same exact thoughts. Yeah. I'm glad she pulled it out, but I was nervous.
Mm-hmm. All right. I made the welcome joke, but everyone knows that Mrs. Kasha Davis, famously in the ESPY Award, the DESPY Awards episode of season 7, went home, did perfectly fine, but went home because she said welcome instead of welcome. You remember that, Solandra?
I forgot, but yes.
Yeah. Mrs. Kasha Davis went home because she said welcome instead of welcome. I just want to
elaborate. They were literally searching for any reason to send her home.
Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. I like her, actually. I wish they would bring her back for an
all. Yeah, same. So does she.
Yeah. All right. Finally, we have Eureka, a benefit for Boom Boom, where she shits her pants. Lori, what are your thoughts here?
You know, I really liked the story. I thought it was fun. I always lean towards funny, and I thought this was funny. And also, I agree with the judges. I thought that this was the one that felt more like a conversation. She mm-hmm. had a very natural flow. She's just a very natural storyteller. And mm-hmm. I did, however, think it was funny that Alec Mappa goes, "Well, we're going to have to get past standards. And I don't know how you're going to say some of these things." And then she literally just, like, I think 4 or 5 times just talks about shitting. Like, it's like, yeah.
Well, they might have been on Paramount Plus when they were filming. So that they had to plan ahead.
What standards did they have to? I thought that was
the
funny.
Cunt monologues had standards. So, Landra, what were your thoughts here?
I was surprised because I just love Eureka so much and wanted her to win so that she would stay in. But I mm-hmm. didn't really find it to be the funniest or the warmest of all the stories. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was just me. But also I think it was because maybe for me, they showed the best parts in the rehearsal. So I wasn't as – it was felt like second time around by the time the story came.
I completely 100% agree with you. You have a heart out. Let's go right into it. It's time for the looks. You know, strangely, the past couple of weeks, they haven't really had looks. And now you're back and the looks are back. The category is fashionable fashion fails. Adam, let's start with you. The first one down the runway is Trinity K. Bonet, where she gained too much weight and the straps in the back were stretching. Tudor boot.
Shoot. Go to Lori. I'm still looking for him.
Lori?
I'm going to say toot. I mean, I think all of these are sort of like a funny. So
yeah,
I mean,
it's hard, right. They're purposely bad.
Yeah, they're purposely bad. So this one's a little tougher for me because I think all of them are kind of quirky in their own way. So I say toot.
Yeah, all I right. found it, and I'll give it a toot too because she looks good, but did the challenge right. So toot.
All right. The correct answer is toot. Next, we have Raja coming on the runway. She was like, she got caught getting dressed. What do you say there, Lori Rockingham?
You know, I feel like Raja, for me personally, has been kind of hit or miss with looks. And I feel like this one's a miss for me, simply just based off the challenge. I think if this was like actually a legit runway, I would be like, toot, because it's a beautiful dress. But I mean, it doesn't, the fact that she's not finished dressing isn't necessarily a bad outfit. It's a beautiful outfit.
Oops, I didn't finish.
Yeah. So, Andrew, what are your thoughts?
So,
I honestly, this picture that Drew Brooks posted as Raja's giving great face in it was just throwing a few more points her way. And so I will give it a toot.
Unfortunately, the correct answer is boot. So it's 2-1. Lori seems to be winning here. Kylie Sonique Love came down in a hot dog on a stick with handprints all over it. Solandra, what do you give it? Toot or boot?
This is hard for me because I think the hot dog on a stick and those colors are so ugly, but pulling a corn dog out of your puss is awesome. But I have to give boot. Just too ugly.
Lori?
I'm actually the exact opposite. I don't think this fits the challenge, really, because again, I mean, but also she looks hot and everything.
Of course.
So it's tough for me because this, she looks hot and it's not really bad dress, but she looks hot, so two.
Toot. Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, now it's tied up because the correct answer is boot. Next, we have Ginger Minj.
I don't agree
Minj.
With the correct answer, so I veto the correct answer.
Ginger Minj came down. She burned her hair. Why don't we start with you, Lori? Toot or boot?
Toot. I thought this was great. I loved it.
All right, Adam Solandra?
Toot. Very, very fun. Very Ginge.
Still tied because the correct answer is boot. What did it have to do with? She just burned her hair? It was a normal dress with burned hair.
Finally, burned her hair, Eureka. She burned her hand, she burned her shirt.
Eureka, she's not wearing hair anymore. She's just Eureka. Eureka came down the runway, hair messed up, toilet paper on her shoe, dress tucked in her underwear. Solandra, your thoughts?
Big toot. I thought that she had all those mistakes and still looked beautiful. That's a good combo, and I liked it.
Yeah, Lori? Same toot.
Wow, this is the first time. The correct answer is toot. It's a tie. 3-3.
Wow.
It is a tie. All right. And those are the looks. All right. I think we might actually make it in time. On the main stage, Eureka is named the winner of the challenge while everyone else is up for elimination back in the workroom. Eureka celebrates her win. The girls plead their cases to Eureka, and Trinity resigns herself to being eliminated. Back on the main stage, Eureka meets her lip sync assassin, season 12 winner, Jada Essence Hall. They take their positions and prepare to duke it out in a lip sync battle for their legacies. The song, Good Golly Miss Molly by Little Richard. In the end, both queens are named the winners of the challenge, and both queens read the name on their lipsticks, Trinity K. Bonet. And with that, Trinity K. Bonet is the next queen to be eliminated from the competition. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with Adam Solandra since he has to go in 3 minutes.
I do have to say that Trinity was certainly not my favorite of the five, and I think it was a lot because of her Ior personality. But I do think she was the most deserving one to be in the finale because I think that her moments were the strongest overall all season. I don't really care about her three times in the bottom. I'm thinking about what the great things were. And when I'm looking back on this, I will remember her Beyonce. And I was also I thought she did great in the girl group challenge. So again, I don't know who I want. I wouldn't want anyone in her place. It's wild to like them all, but it was sad to see her go, actually.
Lori?
I agree. I think that I felt like Beyonce itself should have put her in the finale because she did so well.
She didn't even win that.
Yeah. But I will say again, who do you take out? Because I feel like all of them deserve to be there. Yeah. So it's tough. I will say though that her flaw or the reason why she was kicked off had nothing to do with her drag performances. It had everything to do with Trinity out of drag and the fact that she kept reminding them that she should be up for elimination.
Yeah.
And, my last point is I'll just bring it up again because I brought it up before is that Eureka should have voted off Ginger. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that she did not do that.
She was probably too scared.
Look, it breaks my heart to see Trinity go, but I've said it a million times. I said it again, didn't even say it earlier. I disagree with both of you. she's not going to win this fucking thing. The other four girls have a shot at winning, and there's no way she's going to win.
I think she could have, only because she surprised me also. I didn't think she would win anything. So I've already been surprised, so now I'm like, why not?
Eureka slow walking in the clown outfit to choose the lip sync was everything, and I want to turn it into a GIF and make it into a meme. Her it just being because he was doing that super serious look, but she's dressed as a clown with a clown nose.
Yes, it really was wild.
Finally, I love when the producers are just mean fucking bitches, and they made Trinity stand there and listen two times to her name being read out.
They gave her the damn treatment. Because it's me that you're rushing for, I want to stop it because I have to ask, even if it makes me a little late, I really want to know who you actually each want to win.
Lori? Well, just so you know, you're going to be late just from Lori's answer right now. Well, let me see. Well, I don't think it's Serena Chacha.
Real quickly, I will say, I thought it was funny when we cut to, in the monologues, when we cut to Eureka looking nervous and she's in the bunny suit and she's just like this and she looks nervous. I thought that was hilarious. Eureka. I want Eureka to win. I think she's been killing it this season.
I love Eureka. So happy to hear it. Joe, what about you?
So here's a weird thing. Is I actually see it depends on how you view the title. Is the title like just like another crown for another season? It's just another season, another competition. If that's the case, then I'm giving it to Eureka. I want her to win. But if you're really going at this is the Hall of Fame, it is their legacy based on their career, you got to go Ginger Minj. Solandra, what about you?
Mine is Ginger was my pick going in for that, but just not literally not a single thing popped for me with her this time. And there were that frog look from the beginning. I still can't get over. It looks like Kylie is the most popular online right now. And I get it. I fell in love with her too, but she gives more of a Miss Congeniality vibe to me than a winner. Eureka, I'm obsessed with, but I think it's hard because she was eliminated. There's that stigma, even though I don't think she deserved to be. But at the end of the day, I think I choose Raja. I love her redemption story, which is huge from season 11. And she hit in all categories. She looked good and made her clothes. She was funny. She was acting. So I'm going to give it to Raja.
All right.
I mean, everybody everybody could win. I feel like you can make an argument for everybody. So, yeah. All right.
Agreed.
Solandra, you were almost out on time. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct the season finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 6. So, for Lori and Kay Roggenkamp, Adam Solandra, and myself,
sashay away.
You know, Solandra, you can leave during this. Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. You can also leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Lori has another podcast. It's called Bloody Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Lori Roggenkamp on Instagram at Lori, you liar. That's L-A-U-R-I, the letter U, L-I-A-R. You can follow Adam Solandra on Instagram at Adam Solandra. Follow Joe Batanz on Instagram at Joe Batanz. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Very special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Agnesia Shopinska, April Pacheco, Astute Girl, Brad Coley, Coco San Pedro, Declan Prosser, Drew Brooks, E. Smith, Emma, Humble Pie, J. Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Jimmy Kilmasa, Lauren Eckert, Lionel Campbell, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Nutella, Nicholas Alexander Springham, Poppy Woods, Ricardo Herrera, Sarah Yu, Spiral Queen, Tom Bombs, Travis Newland, Troy Anderson, and Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.